And then the Facebook here is live too. So there's going to be thousands of people been watching our services. Unbelievable. Argentina, Canada, Africa, England. I mean, right now, hard to believe. And they say they can't go to church or don't have a church. So we welcome all of y'all being with us this morning. All right. Let's take the Bible, your Bible. Turn to John chapter 18, the book of John chapter number 18. Now, I want to look at a really jumped out and grabbed me the other day and bring you the thought I feel like the Lord has laid on my heart. John chapter number 18. And you're in the story here of when the Lord Jesus Christ was being sent back and forth from Herod to Pilate. And neither one of them wanted to have him put to death. Or I guess Herod might have for a while, but they didn't want to mess with him. And Jesus was standing before Pilate, and try to imagine this. Here's the Lord Jesus Christ standing in front of Pilate, and Pilate's wife had a dream and called and said, you better leave it. Don't mess with that guy. There's something. You just leave it alone. Stay out of it. And he was a little bit worried. She said, honey, I had a dream, and I'm not trying to tell you what to do, but tell you what to do. She said, you better leave him alone. And he was a little bit nervous about turning the Lord over to them to be crucified. And so we're going to jump in with this story here and look at verse 36, John chapter 18 and verse number 36. Jesus answered, my kingdom is not of this world. There he's speaking of the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of God's here right now. You're in it. You're saved. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight? See, that's kingdom of heaven. That's a literal visible kingdom. That I should not be delivered from the Jews. But now, it ain't always going to be that way, but now, right now, later it will be of this world. He'll smash it. But right now is my kingdom not from hence. Pilate therefore said unto him, art thou a king then? Jesus answered, thou sayest that I'm a king? To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into this world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth hears my voice. Y'all look at that. Look at your Bible. Everybody that's of the truth hears my voice. Pilate saith unto him, what is truth? And when he had said this, he went out again unto the Jews and saith unto them, I find in him no fault at all. The part I want you to look at back there in verse 38 this morning is where Pilate said, what is truth? What is truth? You know, people been asking that ever since people been here. Every philosopher, every scientist, every saints and sages, scientists, archaeologists, geologists, all down to the philosophers down through history. They said, what is truth? What is truth? And I'm going to preach on this morning, truth in trouble. Truth in trouble. This was a very, very contentious, tumultuous time in history. Unprecedented. You heard that lately? Uncharted waters. Heard that lately? Never before in history event. Heard that lately? That was what was happening right here when Jesus Christ was standing in front of Pilate, and Pilate said, look, I don't know what to do. Are you a king? And the Lord answered him. And Pilate said, everybody that's truth hears my voice. And he said, what is truth? So Pilate was showing there. He was saying, look, I don't even know what's true and what ain't. I'd say that in the last month. I've said it myself. You don't know what to believe. You don't know what the truth is. You don't know on this stuff that's going on in our, and people are saying, what is truth? Where is truth? Is there such a thing as truth? Now the world's even saying, your truth is your truth and my truth is your truth. My truth, and you got to be high to believe something like that. You got to be smoking a little bit of dope to believe that something's true for you, it's true, and something's true for me, opposite is true. It can't be true if it's different. Both of us, it ain't. They said, well, tell your truth, I'll tell my truth. Well, there ain't no such thing as your truth and my truth. There's truth and there's error. And so this was a very time of religious, civil, and political, to say the least, unrest, to say the least. I mean, there was talk of overthrowing the government. There was talk of revolution. There was talk of war. There was talk of Pilate was afraid he's going to get voted out. And he stood there and said, I don't know what truth is. I really don't know. My wife's telling me to leave you alone. And you got this people over here telling me to crucify you. And I got these people over here crying, saying, let you go. You're the savior of the world. What is truth? I don't even know. And that's where we find ourselves in this story today. Pilate said, what is truth? There was talk of murder. There was talk. Can you imagine what a time that was? Here's a man that completely turned the world upside down for 3.5 years, and he's standing right in front of you, and the whole countryside is waiting to see what you're going to do. And this is when he said, what is truth? It was a time of trouble for sure. Ladies and gentlemen, we likewise this morning find ourselves in a time of trouble. Now, I'm going to talk to you this morning about truth in trouble. And I want to say the first thing I want to say this morning is when you're in trouble, you want the truth. When you're in trouble, you want the truth. Years ago, there's some old crazy nut. Wrote a song. I remember hearing it on radio. It said, tell me lies, tell me lies, tell me sweet little lies. You remember that old song? Some old rock, hype rock song back. All them. I thought, what kind of nut are you? And that woman was just saying, look, I don't care if you love me or not. Just tell me you do. I don't want to like telling me lies. There's something, if you're that desperate, you need help. I want to know the truth. When I'm in trouble, I want to know the truth. When you're having marriage troubles and your marriage is about to break up, and one of them's gone to see a lawyer and another's gone to see their his girlfriend, or they're over here and they're over there and they're gone here and gone there, and you go to a counselor, you go to the pastor, or you go to a marriage counselor or something like that, you don't want them to get up there and say, oh, everything's going to be all right, you're fine, just keep on. You'll say, tell me the truth, right? Tell me the truth. And people that pay for a counselor, you'd be crazy to pay money for a marriage counselor in Asheville or somewhere and say, lie to me. Well, I don't want nobody to lie to me. If you're going to counsel me, tell me the truth. I want to know the truth. If you are, I don't want people telling me everything's all right if it ain't all right. If you go to the doctor and you get a bad report and the doctor finds out you have a terminal disease or you have cancer, or you have no telling what, and the doctor comes back in, and you have that little room where you sit down and you have a little consultation and you sit down like this, and the doctor says, and you know what you want to do? You want to say, doctor, you tell me. And sometimes people even said, do you want the truth or you want to enjoy the rest of your life? And anybody in their right mind says, I want the truth. I want the truth. If I'm sick, I want to know it. Don't you? If I've got something wrong with me, I want to know it. Tell me the truth. If you're in financial trouble, you want the truth. You go to somebody and say, what should I do? I'm in debt, head over heels. What should I do? Go buy you another car. You don't want that. You want somebody to tell you the truth. Say, look, you're going to have to get this stuff in order. You're going to have to sit down and sell something or let something go back or refinance or you got to do something. And what you want, you say, tell me the truth. During this time or any time, that's where politicians, you keep listening to these politicians. Have you ever listened to a politician that come out and you say, okay, they're going to tell us something. And when you get through, you say, what did they say? anybody ever had that problem? You know what a politician has to do? They have to talk out of both sides of their mouth. And the reason that's to please both sides. And Captain Kangaroo and Lyndon Johnson and most politicians have all that in common. They said years ago they're going to have that squirrel law down in Florida where you could kill certain squirrels or couldn't. There's fighting over it. It was a big issue. An election was coming up, and the politician got on TV and he said this. He said, "Now, ladies and gentlemen, I would like to inform, I know all my constituents are listening today, and I would like to bring up the issue of the recent ratification of Squirrel Law 181932-H. And we have 5,000 pages wrote on it, and which nobody's read. We paid somebody a lot of money to write. And he says, he don't say that. That's true. But he says, I have carefully examined the facts in this case, and I have carefully and prayerfully sought wisdom from my counselors, and I have found that half of my friends and supporters are in favor of the Squirrel Law and will support its ratification on November 3rd, 18-19-32H. And he said, I have found, however, after much study and soul searching and going through all the facts available in my office at this time, I have found that the other half of my friends are opposed to the Squirrel Law 181932-8, or whatever I said a minute ago, and will not support its ratification on November the 3rd. And I, after much consideration and after much heart searching and examining of all the facts, have decided that I will stand with my friends. Now, what did he say? He didn't say nothing. He didn't say nothing. I would rather work for the city driving a truck picking up trash than be a politician. I feel sorry for him. That's right. I'd hate to have a job where I couldn't tell the truth. Help me there. Say amen right there. I miss your horns honking. Blow your nose or something. Listen, people. Not on nobody. Them buggers can fly 13 feet in the air, I heard the other day. If you sneeze. But listen, I'll give you a concussion if it hits you upside the head. Listen, when I'm in trouble, I want to know the truth. I want to know the truth. Every time you turn on the TV, they say, studies show, studies show, studies show. And you know what them studies show? Them studies show that people figure out what they want you to think, and they get their figured out their end, and then make a study to fit that answer. Anybody can do that. I can make a study. I can do my own study. Watch this. I'll now make a study. I want to have a survey in here this morning of how many people in here today believe that there is a heaven and a hell. Would you raise your hand, please? You believe there's a heaven and a hell? Raise your hand. But I believe that's almost 100%. I'd say 99%. All right, now, I'm going to come out and have that published, have my secretary type it all up, and then I'm going to come out next week and say, recent study shows that 99% of Americans surveyed, right? Ain't that what that is? 99% of Americans serve. A lot's coming on in some of y'all. You're thinking, you know what? That's right. You can make the study say anything you want it to say. We got 99% in here that believe that there's a heaven and a hell, and the studies show that. You say, well, Brother Danny, they said on TV some study showed that. Well, they're interviewing people coming out of Hooters on Saturday night. I mean, listen, people, they got a certain kind of people. Now, if you randomly did it all over America and included country folk and mountain folk and Yankees and smart alecks and people, then you might get a right study, but that don't happen very often. You know what we need? Truth. Truth. The Lord said, I am the way, I am the truth. I thank God this morning, people, that we know the truth. We have the truth. Thy word is truth. Jesus is true. I'm glad we know the truth in this troublesome time that we're living in. Right there is where you're going to get it. Number two, you know what? When you're scared, you want the truth. You do. When you're scared, you want the truth. Them guys over there in the battle, I know when Brother Wayne was talking, I've heard stories. I was not in the military, but I've heard stories over there. And they're saying down there, and you got guys down in these trenches, stuff blowing up all around you, bombs going off, you know, and there goes somebody's arms, somebody's legs, and then somebody comes in, and they say they have a report. And the report says that the enemy's coming in from the east, and we got 15 minutes to get ready. You know what? You want that person, you better have that person telling you the truth. What for coming from the back? You got 2 minutes. See, when you're scared, I want the truth. If I'm scared, if somebody's breaking in my house, you know, they've had all these school shootings and church shootings. If somebody was coming in that door. They can't come in these doors. And I feel sorry for them, but come in that. But if somebody were to try to come in these doors here this morning and cause trouble or something like that, I wouldn't want one of our men to come in here and say, "Ah, don't worry about it, preacher. We ain't got nothing to worry about. Everything's fine." Listen, I want the truth. I want the truth. No matter how bad it hurts, no matter how uncomfortable it feels to swallow, no matter how much my flesh or my own mind or my own feelings may dislike it, no matter how, listen, I want the truth. Somebody tell us the truth. Jesus said, "I am the truth." Amen. Amen. If a hurricane's getting ready to hit the coast of Florida, you know, them people, they're down there, they say, "Tell us truth, tell us truth. Don't tell us it ain't coming. I want to board up my windows. I want to get the cars parked in the garage. I want to make preparations. I want to go down in the shelter. I want to know if the alarm system's working. I don't want somebody to tell me the alarm system's working if it's not working. I want the truth. You want to know. You want to know. If something, this coronavirus stuff, did you know I've never in my lifetime seen a time when people are so scared. I've never seen a time when people are so scared. I mean, you go down the aisle. I start down the aisle at the dollar store, and some little woman's even goes, "Well, like this. And I'm not going to hurt you. I'm not going to rob." And then they look at you. You're supposed to look at them little arrows and walk whichever way the arrows are. I'm having a hard time with that, I'll be honest with you. Getting used to that. And you say, "Oh, I've done went down the wrong way. I'm a terrible person." It's got people scared to death. It's got people scared to death. There's people said, "Well, 2 million people in the United States was going to die." I mean, it scared people all to pieces. And I remember saying when this first happened, when they first started the lockdown, I remember telling people, and y'all said it right here in this pulpit, I said, "You mark my words, suicide will go up, alcoholism will go up, drug addiction will go up, domestic violence will skyrocket." And we are now seeing it. It's absolutely out the roof. I heard a study the other day that said in some cities that deaths from drug overdose, opiates, and drug overdose are even higher than the coronavirus death. I've heard that. I don't know if true or not, but I know one thing, they're up. And I know they said suicides are absolute. I mean, you got people sitting out there in a little old apartment, and they're saying, "I can't pay my bills. I can't never go no world. The world's coming to an end. I might as well just take a gun." And you know, there's people like that. You know why? They have no truth. They have no truth. They don't have nothing to believe in. They don't have nothing to hope for. Me and you got something. Listen, it don't matter how bad it gets. We still got something. It can't get too bad to take away the truth. It can't get too bad to take away our hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so when you're scared, you want the truth. I preached a sermon on the mark of the beast. And I said, "Oh, Brother Dave, don't scare people. You want the truth, don't you?" The truth is, our world is moving toward a one world government. And the elites and the big people pulling the string somewhere. It's bigger than anybody me and you know. I'm talking about the Council of Foreign Relations and Illuminati and the Bilderbergers and the Rothschilds. And I'm talking about people that are bigger than anybody me and you see on TV. And they're pulling the string saying, "Now's our chance. Now's our opportunity. Let's get everybody together. One world, one government. One religion, and one of these days a man's going to step on the scene that'll be a one world dictator." You say, "That scares me." You want the truth? That's truth. And there's going to be a mark put on your right hand or your forehead, and without it you can't buy nothing, you can't sell nothing, you can't shop, you can't drive no car, you can't get groceries. You know, there'll be a time like the world's never seen, and great delusion is coming. You want the truth when you're scared? There's the truth. You say, "Well, Brother Danny, that scares me." Yeah, but you forgot who told us the truth. Jesus said, "I'm the way, the truth, and the life." And he said, "Fear not them which can kill the body, but after that have no more that they can do." He said, "Fear not, little flock." He said, "I go to prepare a place for you. If I go, I will come again and receive you unto myself." That's mine and your hope. Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, when I'm scared, I want the truth. Don't you? Don't you? They said one time this man, he had this little boy and he was out somewhere up in the Rockies, in the mountains, fishing. And somehow or another, their little boat capsized and turned over. And it went down the man liked to drown. And the little boy liked to drown. And it was real fast rushing waters. Like you've seen these floods this week up in Michigan and out over here at the lake and above Marion. There's floods everywhere. It's really, really bad. And he grabbed his little boy, was about 7 years old, and he threw him over here and he put him over here and he got it. There's a big old rock right there in the middle of that flood. And he set him there and he said, son, you stay right there and hang on to that rock. I can't get you over there. I'll come back and get you and I'll go get help. And his daddy left and he stayed there all evening and the rain was hitting him and the waves were splashing up on him and it got dark and he stayed there all night long. That little 7 year old boy holding on that big old rock and he stayed there and he was scared and he was worried and he didn't know what to do. Finally, early in the morning, he saw his daddy coming across the way. We had some men and they had some boats and they had some equipment and they come to his rescue. And finally his daddy grabbed him like that. He said, son, are you all right? He said, yes, daddy. He said, I told you I'd come back. And he said, yes, daddy, I knew you'd come. I knew you wouldn't forget me. Amen. Woo, glory to God. I knew you wouldn't forget me, daddy. I knew you'd come back and get me. I knew you'd come back and get me. And you know what he said? He said, son, was you scared? He said, yes. He said, son, did you tremble? He said, yes. He said, son, did you shake? He said, yes, but the rock didn't. Amen. Woo! Hallelujah, people. I'm telling you this morning, I tremble. I shake. I'm scared of what's going on in this world. But I stand upon the rock of ages. Hallelujah. And the rock don't shake. I don't know how I'm going to get up here. That's a turtle on a fence pose, buddy. You didn't get up there by yourself. Listen, you hear me this morning, people. I'm glad. The rock don't shake. He's my rock. He's my rock. Rock of ages. Cleft for me. Let me hide myself in thee. When you're scared, you want the truth. You want the truth. And then I want to say thirdly this morning, when you're sick, you want the truth. You go to the doctor. What does it say, doctor? I don't know if I ought to tell you. Tell me. Well, I don't know if you want. I do. Tell me. Tell me, doctor. What's wrong with me? You say, ain't you scared? Yeah, I'm scared. But I don't know. Years ago, we used to have an old doctor up in Old Fort, North Carolina. And he was an Indian doctor. And called him Dr. Two Trees. You might remember Dr. Two Trees in Marion. Raise your hand. Look at that. A lot of people here. You remember him, Carrie? You remember people talking about? Well, he got a reputation around there for a while that he could heal anything. And what he'd do when you went to Dr. Two Trees, he didn't charge nothing or anything. He'd tell you anything's wrong with you. And he'd look at you, just look in your eye. And you could tell by looking at your eye, the white part of your eye, what was wrong with you. If you had high blood pressure, cholesterol, heart problem, I don't know if he could or not. My daddy went up there one time. Somebody had been telling me about my daddy took Sandy, my sister, and they went up there and seen him. I don't know if he told him anything or not, but he claimed he could. And honestly, they do say that by the color of the white part of your eye, that a lot of times it can tell like for something bad wrong with you. I don't know if that's true or not. But you know, everybody want to say, look, just tell me the truth. Just tell me the truth. They said, that old Indian told me what was wrong. He turned out to be right. I don't know, but I know one thing. My buddy, when you're sick, you want the truth. There's a doctrine in our world today and a belief called Christian Science. And Christian Science teaches that there is no such thing as pain or even death. It's all in your mind. And they say, people, if you got to believe, I don't have no pain. I don't have no pain. I don't have no pain. It's in your mind. And they teach that we just imagined that we feel bad and we really do feel bad. And if we would quit just believing that mind over matter and you know, you're not really sick. You've just been taught that all your life and you just think you are. Well, that sounds good. Old Buddha and them, some of them tried that meditation and stuff, try to deny reality like that. And said this little man, Christian scientist, come to, knocked on the door one time. Knocked on this door and said, little boy, come out, come to the door. He said, now I want to talk to your mama. He said, mama's sick. He said, no, son, your mother is not sick. She just thinks she's sick. He said, okay. He left. About next week, come back. He said, now can I see your mother? He said, mama's still sick. He said, no, son, your mother is not still sick. She just thinks she's sick. It's all in your mind. Come back next week. Little boy came to the door. He said, son, I want to talk to your mama. He said, mama's sick. She's sick. He said, no, she thinks she's sick. How many times did I tell you that? Come back about a week later. He said, son, can I talk to your mama? He said, mama thinks she's dead. Now, the truth is, mama was dead. And mama was sick. And no matter how bad it is, when I'm sick, I want to know the truth. I want to know the truth. Get it over with. Tell me. If it's bad, it's bad. If I'm dying, I want to know it. Set my house in order. Get everything ready. When you're sick. The last thing I'll say this morning, I'm through, is when you're dying, you're going to want the truth. You hear me this morning? When you're dying, you're going to want the truth. I'm going to tell you the truth this morning. Jesus Christ is my rock, my total dependency for salvation. There is not one good thing that I could do to help him save me, keep myself saved. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And you'll never be able to enjoy being saved until you accept that. We got too many people today that's trying to save themselves. Well, if I'm good enough, maybe God will take me to heaven. Guess what? You ain't good enough. I ain't good enough. And nobody else ain't good enough neither. That's why he died on the cross. If you could be good enough, he would have never done that. But he died because we can't be good enough. It's all him. So, you don't help the Lord. What about this little guy? They said this elephant is going across this bridge. And there's an ant on the elephant's back. And that elephant stepped on that bridge. And he went boom, 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 boom. Boom! And that bridge shook and it fell, like to fell in, you know, and everything. And he got over at the other side and that ant said, buddy, we sure shook that thing, didn't we? And that's the way we are sometimes. We say, me and the Lord. Me and the Lord. Well, I think it is the Lord. I think it was the Lord. You better be there. Shout, amen. It wasn't you. You're just riding along. When I'm dying, brother, I want the truth. They said an old preacher was dying one time and he got ready to die. And they said, what he wants to know, preacher? He said, I'm taking every good thing that I've ever done, casting it overboard. He said, I'm taking every bad thing I've ever done, casting it overboard. And I'm totally resting my soul on the finished work of Jesus Christ. Listen, people, one of these days, if Jesus don't come in mine in your lifetime, one of these days, you're going to be facing death. You hear me? It may be in the next week. I don't know. Maybe you, maybe me. One of these days, you're gonna be laying on a bed and there's a nurse gonna be taking care of you. There's a doctor gonna be looking after you. And you're gonna say, you know what? I'm getting ready to die. I'm getting ready to go out into eternity. I've never died before. What's out there? I want the truth. Buddha, the fourth largest religion in the world. Their book, the Tripitaka, sat under a tree. Buddha means the awakened one. And they say you can reach a point to nirvana. Nirvana means like a peace, perfect state of mind by meditation. And if I'm dying, I don't want Buddha. Buddha didn't even know where he was going when he died. Muhammad, the father of Islam. People, listen to me. The father of Islam, Muhammad, wallowed around on the ground, foaming at the mouth, and saying that's how he got his revelation from God. That's where the Islam, Muslim come from, and the Quran. I don't want that when I'm dying. I don't want that when I'm dying. When I die, if I ever do, I'm praying to live till the Lord comes. But if I ever die, I want somebody to tell me, Danny, Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus said, if a man comes to me, I will in no wise cast out. I'm behold, I'm the dead. I was dead and I'm alive. Have the keys of death and I'm alive forevermore. I can go home on that right there. I can leave here on that right there. When you're dying, you want the truth. They say this. Socrates taught for 40 years. Plato, 50 years. Aristotle, 40 years. Jesus Christ, 3.5. Those 3 years transcend and influence the combined years of Plato, Aristotle, and Socrates. Three of the greatest supposedly philosophers of all time. Jesus painted no pictures, yet the paintings of Raphael, Michelangelo, and the great painter, Leonardo da Vinci, received their inspiration from him. Jesus wrote no poetry, but Dante, Milton, and scores of the world's greatest poets were inspired by him. Jesus composed no music, but Haydn, Handel, Beethoven, Bach, Mendelssohn reached their highest perfection of melody in the hymn, symphony, and orators, which is written in his praise. But thus, every sphere of human greatness has been incomparably enriched by the humble Lord Jesus, the carpenter from Nazareth. His unique contribution to the race of men is the salvation of our soul. Philosophy could not accomplish that. Art could not accomplish that. Literature could not accomplish that. Music could not accomplish that. He can only speak power to a strengthless soul and life into the dead. I'm telling you this morning, there's nobody like him. There's never been nobody in this world like him. He said, I'm the truth, and when I'm dying, I want the truth. I hope you do too. They said years ago, I said, I'm through. In a little old town, somewhere over in London, somewhere way back years ago, there was a beautiful young lady dressed immaculately, like she was getting married. Beautiful dress. And somebody saw her down on her knees in the mud, in that dress, reaching down in the gutter, slime and filth and sewage and everything, washing down into them pipes. And I think it's in London. And they saw her just reaching her bare arm. She pulled her sleeve up like that, and she was reaching down in there like that. And they said, oh, my goodness, what is wrong? Policeman came to know what was going on. I said, man, what are you doing? She's reaching down there, and she looked up, and she was crying, and she said, I lost my ring. She said, my husband gave me that ring. She said, my husband, it meant the world to me. And she said, he was a soldier, and he went to battle and was killed. And she said, that ring's all I have to remember him by. That ring keeps me and him connected. And she said, I'm putting my hand down in his filth to get that ring. And nothing else would have made her do that. And I'm telling you this morning, everybody listen to me. I'm telling you this morning, Jesus Christ left the perfect, pure environment of heaven, come down in this filthy world, and rubbed all over him to rescue me and you, because he loved us. That's the truth. That's the truth. The coronavirus, come and go. The Republicans and Democrats and state will come and go. But the truth will stand when this world's on fire. And when you die, you're going to want the truth. They said this boy was, young boy was dying, and he couldn't stay alive, and his family raised him atheist. And all their life they'd been atheists. There ain't no God, there ain't no God. When you die, you die. You're dead, you're dead. That's just, you know. And he was laying on his bed. He wasn't but about 16. And his uncle come in, and he said, now son, you just hold on. Hold on. He said, I'm scared. I don't want to die. I'm scared. I'm dying. I'm scared. He said, huh, son, just hold on. Everything will be all right. Just hold on. And a few minutes later, his daddy come in. He said, son, how you feeling? He said, daddy, I'm scared. He said, I'm dying, daddy, and I don't want to die. It's scary, daddy. I don't know. He said, just hold on, son. It's fine. You know, we've taught you all your life. When you leave this world, you're gone. You don't worry about it. Just hold. A few minutes, his mama come in. He was shaking. He said, mama, I'm scared. And that day is going to come for everybody in here. That day is going to come. I don't care how young, healthy you think you are. You can lift weights, run 25 miles a day, take vitamins, eat right. And that day's coming for you. And he's laying there and his mama come in. He said, Mama, I'm scared. I don't want to die. She said, Son, just hold on. Just hold on. It's going to be all right. And he began to scream, shake, and grab the side of that bed. He said, Mama, Daddy told me to hold on. He said, Mama, Uncle said to hold on. He said, Mama, what am I going to hold on to? When the day comes for you to die, you ain't going to have nothing to hold on to unless you know the truth. The truth is this morning, this old world's going, listen, I don't care how safe you are. You can social distance from here to California. Where's everybody? And you're still going to die. Something's going to get you. Take you out of here. The question is this morning, do you have the truth in your heart? Let's stand with our heads bowed, please. Nobody moving, please. Nobody talking. The pianist is coming. She's playing softly this morning. She's playing very softly. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. I want to pray with you. Right there where you stand. You want to come to this altar? You are more than welcome to come. We've got plenty of room here. Stay apart. God speaking to your heart this morning. Maybe. You might want to say, Lord, I believe that preacher's telling me the truth. I believe what he's saying is true. Why don't you right now just say, Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I'm sorry for my sins. And I'm taking you right now to be my Savior. Right now, Lord, I'm trusting you and you only to be my Savior. To be my Savior. Right now. Do it right now. He says, all you got to do to be saved. That's all you got to do to be saved. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Trust him. You don't get saved by trying, you get saved by trusting. You don't try to get saved. You trust the one that can save you. If you're here this morning, you say, Brother Danny, I've been backslid, been out of church 2 months. I need to really get my heart right. All right, I know the truth. 1 John 1:9 said, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. The truth will set you free here this morning. I'm going to pray with you. Father, I thank you for the truth we heard this morning. I pray that you'd help every single person here today do what ought to be done in every heart and life. I pray for that one this morning who's never been saved. This will be the time when they trust you and get saved here this morning. This will be the time for that one that's cold or walking afar off or a guilty distance. I pray that you'd help them. I ask. I beg it in Jesus' name. Have your way in our lives this morning. Do what ought to be done. We'll thank you for it. Keep everybody here safe. Watch over them. Supply their needs during this time. We'll thank you and praise you for it. In Jesus' name we pray and for his sake. Amen. 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 All right. All right. Just stay right where you are. Couple things right quick. You can go ahead and turn that camera off. Couple things right quick. Of course, y'all, the people watching at home, it's post office.